Good afternoon. I have an apology to make to Jalal, who says, hearing this conversation is making me anxious about whether I am anxious enough about my social networking. I blame Dubai Eye.
Be anxious. Be
Don't
very
be anxious.
Anxious.
Don't worry about it. It's fine. I'm not on it either. If that makes you feel any better at all, I don't know.
Do you feel anxious about the fact you're not using Twitter?
Actually, I do feel a bit anxious about that sometimes.
Yeah. My mom yesterday asked my daughter to help her set up a Twitter account. I didn't know what to make of that. I was like, okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, your mum's stalking you on Twitter. Whoa. Oh,
well, I mean,
she's
been
following
cool.
up on Facebook everything that's happening, and she's not, you know, she doesn't post
not
anything, but she's listening, and she's like, okay, well, everybody's talking about Twitter now. I want to know what that's about.
In today's world, even dogs text.
Oh, did you
yes.
get that? Wasn't that great? I love that story.
I read it and read it and read it. I just went all the way through the Tumblr account. I had tears running down my face.
Hilarious. What was it? The dog, what's it called? The dog texts. Or a dog text or something like that. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I think it was in the, was it in the Guardian.
Guardian. Yeah. The Guardian.
Very, very funny.
And it's just about this. It's this dog. It's obviously not a real dog. But it's obviously
a dog impersonator.
Yes. Or a guy or a girl, actually, who sends text apparently from his dog. But it's just really, really funny. And they did a full, whole-length interview with the dog about it. But
what do you mean
we'll
it's not a real dog?
Well, he's not.
You're the kind of person that goes around telling kids that Father Christmas isn't real, aren't you?
On radio.
On the radio. It's not true, don't be silly.
Kids are crossing moral limits through the virtual world. A story ran in Gulf News this week. A recent survey of 580 parents in the Middle East whose children are between 2 and 17 years old, 68% of parents said they felt they were not qualified enough to teach their children about online safety.
Wow. That's interesting.
Major Faisal Al-Shamari of the High Committee for the Protection of Children, speaking at a working group, said parents must understand that the moral boundaries of their homes are jeopardised the second an internet cable enters the house.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Pretty strong stuff. Very true.
It's true,
very
though.
True.
Very well put, actually.
66% of parents whose children between 14 and 17 years old felt that the critical lessons in internet use should be taught by a school, which I think is the biggest cop-out I've heard in a long time.
Ah, yes,
I don't think schools are responsible for teaching children how to use the internet. I think parents are responsible for
but
teaching
parents
their children.
Are, but I think schools can help parents by providing adult seminars to encourage them to learn about
it. Schools can help parents. I'm no argument there whatsoever. Yeah. But parents just offloading the moral duty to educate their children on their safety to schools, I think is shameful.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But I don't know that they know where to go to get that kind of information.
Are there courses here? I mean, are there ways and means to learn that are... Well,
sounds
I'm sure
like an
there
opportunity.
Are. Yeah, but I think it be fantastic. I do think though, I mean if the schools, if you are teaching computers etc. in schools, then yes, of course, along with that education comes a moral obligation to I think teach the other side as well, as to protect yourself.
I agree. I think schools should be teaching it, but yeah. I think parents offloading the responsibility to schools is a very, very different thing.
Agreed.
I think that's a dangerous thing.
Yeah, just because maybe it's a bit scary or etc. But again, let's put that question out possibly to our listeners. As a parent, do you feel that you don't have the skills, let's say, or you feel a bit sort of inadequate when it comes to communicating with your child about technology, about computer usage, etc. And what can you do about it? I mean, what would you say you could do about it, Alexander? What can you do as a parent?
If you felt inadequate about your own understanding of technology, really go out there and find some way of learning about the technology. Ideally, just go out and use it yourself. Just get hold of it, get to grips with it, start using it. So you've got an understanding of the dynamics of it. You know, we're talking about the anxiety of using social media. Well, if you're using social media yourself, you can make up your own mind about whether it's making you feel anxious or not, but you understand the dynamics of it. You also understand the attractions of it and the pitfalls of it. You have to go out and embrace these things because your children are.
Yeah, true. But I think wouldn't it be great to have, or maybe there exists already, if you know of any, why not let us know if there are any sort of parent groups that you either get together and talk about internet, talk about sort of skills that you can learn, or if there are any interesting websites that you can source and access to perhaps better yourself or teach yourself online. I'm sure there are online. Perhaps we can find out for you as well. This could be something our homework for next week. But do let us know if you know of any. 4001 again is the text message number. Well, back to you. Actually, I've got one.
Yes.
The question is it possible to quit Google?
Yes.
Yes. And I tried.
Did you?
Yes.
Very difficult, though, apparently.
It is.
Did
it
work
quite
for you?
Difficult. It's very challenging because some of the sites, I mean, Google dominates because they really are great. And they do have just such tremendous access. But there are sites that you just can't find through other engines. But I even have this these list of, like, I tried Blecko, which is one of the other engines that does less in terms of data gathering on you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, this is an article from the BBC, and that is the headline, actually. Is it possible to quit Google? And there's a couple of people who, in the article, have actually tried it. And Tom Henderson, apparently one of the guys, says, spends what he describes as way too much time online. The managing director for Extreme Labs, which is a technology company in the US, says that... he had to make a decision at one point. Do I like the terms of service and am I willing to abide by it to use Google's products? The answer in both cases was no. So he decided to quit Google for good. And he wrote a manifesto for the IT world called How I Divorced Google.
That's amazing.
4 months later, he's still living a mostly Google-free existence. But as he said it was pretty hard, actually.
It is very hard. Because, like, on the search engine, you can find alternatives. But then Google is in everything now, and there are lots of sites where it's almost becoming like Microsoft, where, you know, in the old days, Microsoft, you had to use their browser. They're the same way now. You go to sites and it kind of forces you to like it on or put it on Google Plus, and almost, you know, and then with Google apps,
drawn back to it. He's used something called DuckDuckGo.
Yep, DuckDuckGo is a website, search engine that doesn't track any of your information or use cookies or any of that good stuff. So they make it very much a part of their operation. Okay. And it's a very usable search engine.
I haven't heard of that. And MapQuest for directions.
Yep.
Should I quickly read his 7-day plan?
Yes.
Day 1, take inventory. Day 2, delete cookies. Day 3, redirect host files. 4, install tracker blocker. And then 5, mobile phone maintenance. 5, find replacements. 7, maintenance and reflection. So yeah, depending on what your job is, it'd be very tricky.
The other thing you need to do is in your browser, you need to change the default setting on the search field, because the default is Google.
Of course, yeah.
So Naren Jayaraman went through this some time ago, and he documented it very well on his blog. He de-Googleized his life. He just realized how dependent he was on Google. And a list of his solutions for email, Rackspace, search engines, DuckDuckGo and Wolfram Alpha, RSS Reader, NewsBlur, browser, Firefox, Maps, Nokia's Ovi Maps, video, Vimeo.
Vimeo, yes. That's
productivity, Office Live, chat, video, conference, Skype. Social network, he's defaulted to Twitter, music, and he's looking at Muzone and MP3 tunes.
Right.
So he'd actually went, one would argue slightly obsessively, to get Google out of his life. And as you just said, found it actually quite a challenge.
Yes.
Because Google is great, and it knows everything about you.
It does.
That's the scary thing, which I didn't realize. Oh, what about Bing? Someone use that.
Yeah, Bing, but that belongs to an empire just as...
Yeah, it's Microsoft.
Oh, right. Okay.
The thing is, like, I hate it when certain news sites, like the Washington Post, forces me to use Bing, because it disorients me altogether. You know, I'm already with one giant, you know, Google. I don't want to be with another. But I think that the bigger challenge with Google, and maybe we can get them to come in here and talk about it, is how they're taking on innovation in this region, and they're kind of holding the hands of the startups. But then through that, also really getting them to use a lot of their tools and a lot of their... I don't know how democratic that is. I don't know how.
Hey, Rama, if it's cool, it's good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So I think in that
you've
sense,
been Googled.
Just going back to that wonderful website, textfromdog.tumblr.com.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, that's the actual blog.
If you have an hour to kill and you want to laugh, you should go through it.
Oh, yeah, tears down, face laugh.
Oh, really? Oh, good, I'm glad. We have another text message come through, which I'll read. My 8-year-old daughter makes me very anxious by asking me questions about Facebook and telling me about her classmates using Facebook. I told her she is not allowed to use it until she's 13 or 14. Yeah. Mm. Very stressful for both of us. That's from Cameron. Thanks for that. Yeah, I would imagine 8. I mean, yeah, what was it? It's 13, isn't it, the age?
Mm-hmm. 13 is the formal limit.
Yeah. But even the gentleman that came on from the GEM school was saying the 11-year-olds are on it. Yeah. Now, 8-year-olds obviously wanting to get on it.
Yeah, and I think you've got two options here. I think the first is, as a parent, you can forbid it and block it. And I think you're only going to be so successful at doing that if your kid's got access to smartphones and to devices outside the home place. Yeah. You can't really shut it down. You know, you can't get all Amish about it. At the same time, you can't ignore the fact that there's a discipline issue here. If you're saying to your child, this is not for you yet, then, you know, that's a Dr. Raymond question, I guess. And then the third part is, really, you do have to get your head around it yourself so you can answer their questions and also guide and lead them in the way that you'd be expected to get your head around any issue of human life and guide and lead your children.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very, very good point, yeah. So I suppose the advice from us non-psychologists, psychiatrists, but parents, not yet, or... I suppose have a go yourself. I mean, that's probably the only way, isn't it, really? Couple more messages coming through. Let's just take a quick look at those. I quit Facebook, LinkedIn and all kinds of chat. I find no use quitting Google. Google facilitates my daily work stuff, says Cash. Mm-hmm. Ah, okay. And another message talking about kids getting more savvy. When my daughter was 8, she said to me, mm-hmm. It's not come through, I'm afraid. Sorry, I can't seem to open that. I'll see if I can do that after the break.